Blog Talk Radio.
The hits just keep on coming.
Let's start the show. You know what time it is.
What up? It's the Powerhouse Squad. The Powerhouse Squad.
The Powerhouse Squad is in the house. With Tone Robbins.
Live and direct.
Sophia Alexandria.
I am in the house. What's going on?
And Brother Al.
Hey, what's up?
You know, it's not just the wisdom, it's the basis of understanding of the subject.
You're on mute. We here. It's the Power Squad. Sophia, can you hear me? Sister Sophia, Brother Alfred, come out wherever you are. You gotta take us off mute. We in the building. I'm in the building. Shiny suit and all, doing the puffy dance. Bad. Now let me stop playing. What's up, y'all? Tone, checking in. Got a little technical sound issues right now. Hold tight with us. Tone, can you hear me? Sister Sophia, Brother Alfred. Powerhouse Squad, we're going to lead off the day, man. Hot topics, what's in the news, what's going on out there with you guys, man?
Hey, everybody, what's going on?
Okay, that's number two. What's going on? Brother Alfred, come on, check in. I feel like we in a matrix, man. We diving in one by one right now. So Sophia, how you doing today, though?
I'm doing good. You know, I've been recovering, so I'm doing better. So I'm glad about that. Yeah. So how you doing? What's been going on?
Man, I'm good. I'm listening to some new music. Checking out the what. I'm trying to make sure people don't jump out the window on my side because the stock market, the crypto market, every market is just going to boo-boo right now.
Yeah, So what music are you listening to? What's the new music?
Shelly.
Say Nelly?
Shelly.
I don't know Shelly. Jelly.
You got to listen to Shelly.
Okay, I'm going to have to Google that.
Yeah.
Don't know that.
Shelly, a.k.a. Drum, D-R-A-M. But check out Shelly. We're going to play a song during the break so we can vibe to it. But basically, it's a new era act that's doing soul music. I won't call it R&B anymore. I'll call it soul. And it actually sounds good. It feels good. You know, more so than the pop-oriented pop R&B that they have been giving to us, which has been mostly just slowed down rap music over the last 15 years or so. So that's one of the good things out there. And we're going to be talking about hot topics, man. What's going on in these streets? What's going on over there? What's interesting in your hood?
Pretty much I haven't even been watching the news because I've been busy just trying to make sure I'm getting better. So the news has been off for me. I did recently, I think today or yesterday, I'm not sure, but I did see that in North Carolina there were two Smoothie King restaurants shut down, closed, because the employees were being racist on the receipt. So instead of putting a customer name, they was calling them the N-word, If they were Asian, they were calling them Jackie Chan. And so Smoothie King made a big decision and shut two of those locations down and fired the people two people that they know were associated, looking, investigating to see who else has been on it, and then saying that they will not be reopening until they are fully sure that everybody has had required training and that there are no more people involved in that. So I'm like, wow, you got to check these receipts now.
I think it's safe to say. Yeah, man. I mean, that's one thing. What do we call it? We're gonna call that passive racism. But you know, I'm gonna cue it like this in one of those old songs. Never gonna get it. Never gonna get it.
Never gonna get it.
You know. Yeah. It almost seems like that now, where we have people who, unfortunately, are just so passionate and want to hold on to things that they have zero clue about. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because the origin of racism dates back so far, mostly
mm-hmm.
because of skin color, mostly because
mm-hmm.
of people feeling inferior to other people. So
yeah.
if we have been living in a mixed society pretty much all of our lives at this point, and you still are so compelled to just try to ostracize people because of the background. And at the end of the day, we all humans that come from a woman, and
yeah.
we all mostly have the same chance, given our ability, our intellectual ability. So it's just beyond me that people are going to be so ignorant and try to hold true to culture that they weren't even a part of. Like you,
mm-hmm.
you're creating hostility. At this stage, you're creating hostility and animosity just literally for the heck of it. And where is it getting you? Like, on a large scale, it's getting you nowhere, because we know that you'll get terminated if the story becomes big enough and
mm-hmm.
it's about money. There's going to be impact, because nobody wants their business to be impacted by saying they're harboring a person who is, you know, committing racist acts consistently.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Unfortunately, on the legal note, as we talked about, and I'm actually going to get my appetite on that this week. But, you know, we know what we know about the legal system, and there hasn't been much justice at all in regards to the unfair treatment against people. Historically, so I don't even really have to pick a story at this point. Historically, that's been the case. It's rarely been justified. But to all the dummies that live in this
mm-hmm.
era now that think that they're going to get away with it, just stop it, man. Like, you're being a little baby. And the only thing that I'm going to add in my closing point is this. We live in a country that if you got good, sound mind, you can pick your
mm-hmm.
crap up and you can go anywhere in the United States of America. You don't need a passport to cross a state line. So
mm-hmm.
if
right.
you are so compelled and you don't want to see a large number of people because of their skin tone, there are states.
You're breaking up. Say that again.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now? Okay. Now, I was saying there are states that are heavily populated, you know, with a white population, like Montana, like Idaho,
mm-hmm.
places like that. Instead of you trying to inflict pain upon people directly or indirectly, you know, through bigotry and racism, why not move
mm-hmm.
where your own is
exactly.
in larger numbers?
Yeah, I was just speaking to someone yesterday, last night about it. We were just in a good, deep discussion about it, because it's just sad that, it was actually my brother. He was mentioning how it was a lady from 1965 posted a sign. They posted this on his social media account, where she was like, officers, stop killing us. Police officers, stop killing us. And he was like, it's just so sad that we are still saying the same message, and it's 2021. And I'm just like, go, like you said, move to, you know, wherever you all want to be. You know, don't be around us. And like you said, I think when Trump was in office, he made, I think it allowed more of these people to be more direct and bold with their racism versus them being passive. I know the South, and I'm from the South, originally from Louisiana. To me, racism down there when I grew up, it was more direct. It was more bold. But when I moved to California, lived there for more than 11 years, it's there, but it's not as obvious. But it's more indirect, like you say, passive. But now people right. just don't care. Like, I think, and it has to do with Trump and all his foolishness. And now people are just doing, flat out, doing whatever they want to do, saying whatever they want to say, because there's just so much now that we're seeing in social media and the news where it's just sad. Like, this guy named Kennedy, I was reading, that's on American Idol, I think, I don't know if he got kicked off or he voluntarily left, but a video of him sitting on a bench, I guess, with somebody that was wearing KKK attire, started getting out. And so now he's no longer on the show. And, like, he's from South Carolina. But I'm just like, it's so much hate people. And to me, people that are racist and slick, all of that stuff, they hate themselves. They hate a part of who they are. Because if you can just look at someone and say, just because you have some beautiful dark brown or fair brown skin, that I don't like you, you have a problem with yourself. You know, color is beautiful regardless. And so I just think until we it's a lot of work that needs to be done. You know, it's going to have to be a mindset, but I'm with you on that. Move somewhere else. Like you said, Montana, all of these places where it's, you know, majority Caucasians, white, you don't like us that much. Okay. Go there. Don't be around us. You know, let us live in peace and be how we want to be. But, you know, that's my two cents.
Yeah. I mean, again, like I said, it's just, at this point, it's really becoming now, because I look at it as a situation where ultimately, like I said, we live in a country where it's a choice in regards to where you choose to reside. Therefore, this country is wide open. You know, if it's mm-hmm. your land, as you feel, there are so many places that you can go. And, you know, I see people taking campers. I see people taking RVs. So if these places are good enough for you to go and do your excursions, you know, your hiking, your outdoors life, or whatever the case may be, why not make it your full-time residence? That way, if you feel that is that, you know, tranquility is there, peace is there, you don't have to bicker with others, because, you know, the confrontation is the effects of the confrontation is what I'm more concerned about, because the problem is this. People want to instigate and get you to a place of wanting to challenge them. And once you get to that place of challenging them, of like, hey, you know, Sister Sophia, you know, you are a whatever. And then you're upset, you're angry, and now you're at a point where you're about to challenge them. And it may turn to the confrontation may turn physical, and then when it turns physical, then they use the law against you. Oh my God, you hit me, you smacked me, I didn't do anything to you, you know. And then you got to prove yourself, and it culminates. You're loud and clear, sir, but it just culminates into something that is so egregious that at this point, like. I just can't really understand it because, you know, people are brash enough to talk trash, but they're not big enough to do two things. One, humble themselves and respect others. And the other part of it is when somebody brings that tension back and that aggression back, and it may turn into a situation where they may get their tails beat, mm-hmm. or you know, they may get handled, basically. Then it turns mm-hmm. into, oh, okay, well, I sounded off, I took a loss, so now I got to use the police to my defense and help me out in this situation. Now you're going to be accosted and put in an ordeal where, again, you got to prove yourself, because if you try to defend yourself physically, who knows what the outcome is going to be in that circumstance. And those are the things that, mm-hmm. you know, I'm concerned about as an American citizen, that we're starting to see far too often now with all of the incidents of, you know, people that they want to highlight and call Karens. You know, when people bring it back to the Karens, it's, oh, my God, you put your hands on me. Oh, my God, you hit me. Oh, my God, you pushed me. But, mm-hmm. you know, they could be walking in your personal space. Like I seen the young kid a couple weeks ago. He was in his community, but the person didn't know who he was. The person mm-hmm. chose to, you know, walk up on him, push him several times, meet him with a lot of anger and microaggression. And this is a child versus a man in the situation. And now when the community comes back and they surround your house, oh, you're not big and bad anymore. You're not coming outside anymore. We don't see you. You got to call the cops. You got to call the news people because you're afraid to meet those people that you wanted to talk down to because this kid came back, you know, in the hundreds in his mm-hmm. community. And that's why I'm saying, like, with all the things that we have an opportunity to witness in through real time, you would think that people would be more logical at this point and think things through, like, hey, what is the real issue that I have with an African-American? What is the real issue that I have with a Latino or Asian person? Because, you know, because they're in my presence, basically. Because they're in my presence. And, I mean, I had racial issues in Phoenix happen to me just last week. And it was a situation where I came in the bar. Yeah, it was a snub, but it was racially motivated. I mean, I'm walking into a pretty much half empty restaurant, and so the white lady turns and said, "We don't have any seats." And I'm like, "Okay, you know, 10 o'clock at night. I'm coming from a basketball game, and I'm looking around, and there's not a crowd outdoors." You know, there's plenty mm-hmm. of seating available, and we're all booked. And then she turns her back and just stands there and starts to talk to the person behind her and continue, you know, to not acknowledge me. And I was just like, wow. So, but the moral of the story was this. She's a young girl, and mm-hmm. as a young lady, she obviously is being taught behaviors.
Yeah.
Mannerisms that is now going to be a new racial situation where she may pass it on to her kids.
Okay. Yeah.
And over time, she may run into an ordeal with someone, or her children may run into an ordeal with someone who may not handle it with the class that I handled it. I walked away because I'm mm-hmm. one. I'm saying this is a child. This is a young lady. This is a woman. On top of that, there's no need for me to go back and forth and have any rebuttal with her, you know, even mm-hmm. though, again, that's that passive racism that I was talking about, or the passive bigotry, mm-hmm. whichever label you want to put on it. But, again, when you pass that down, somebody's going to meet you with that microaggression, and the outcome is not going to be as subtle
nice.
As mm-hmm. some people are willing to say, you know what, it's not worth it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, like, the thing that happened recently to the girl who actually called the police, I don't know her name, but maybe you guys can help me out, called the police and said this group of girls were following her, trying to fight her. And so she fighting them off, and she ended up losing her life calling the police. Like, who do you call? I mean, she would have probably had a higher chance of surviving had she not called the police, you know, because she was fighting them off. And then it's just sad because in Louisiana, I experienced a situation like that at the time. I was a college student working at a restaurant, and I had a best friend who was Caucasian, and she was going through some stuff with her boyfriend's family, which included her boyfriend and the mother and the sister and the dad, where she had a child with them. Pretty much kept her as a slave. They didn't allow her to drive. Anytime we hung out, a member of her family had to be around. She couldn't be with her own son by herself. And so she was like, I'm going to go back home to Florida, because she was from Florida. And she said, and be with my mom, but it's hard for me to arrange those connections because whatever they were doing. And so she told me the day she was leaving, and she said, I'm just letting you know, I'm getting ready to leave. My mom is going to meet me. I haven't told them anything, so I'm sneaking, blah, blah, blah. So when she ended up, they couldn't find her or the baby. They came to me, came to my house and said, hey, do you know where she is? And I said, and then they followed me to my job. To pick up my tickets. Back in that time, I guess a lot of people were still passing out the tickets. So picked up my tickets, and they were right there in the parking lot. And my brother, one of my elder brothers, were with me, and they was like, do you know where she is? I believe you know where she is. You're going to tell me where she is. I said, I don't know where she is, and even if I did, I'm not going to tell you. And they was like, oh, okay, well, we'll kill you. So it was the mom and the daughter. And so I was in my car, pulled out, started driving. They followed me. They started following me. And then in Louisiana, it's a lot of streets. They're two-way streets, but, like, it's barely enough space for one car to get on. I mean, one car to drive one way. And so they started trying to block me. And then I almost got trapped as I tried to pull into someone's house off of that street. And I couldn't back up because they blocked me in. So my brother said, okay, switch, but I'll drive. We were on, it was like I was in one of those racing movies. So my brother pulled out just in time to get by them. They were speed chasing us, bumping us on the end of my car. We were running across railroad tracks and stuff like that. And so I called the police. While we're driving, and said, we have these people, they're chasing us, they're talking about they're going to kill us, and blah, blah, blah. So I drive home. And so the police arrive, but guess what they do? They act like we're the one that did not call them. So they're telling us, step back, step back. Now, what did you guys do? No, what did they do? You know, so it's just a shame that we don't even have the system is set up where we can't even call the people that are in positions that are supposed to be able to protect us, but they're looking at us like we're the criminals. No, I'm the one that called you and said someone is chasing me and threatening my life. And so it's just crazy, and it's very that we have to experience this. And even like the guy, what was he, a lieutenant, pulled over in a well-lit area with his hands all out. I mean, it's a shame, you know. He ended up crying. The way that they were treating him, it's like you try your best to do what it is that you know that you can do to avoid situations, and it doesn't work. It doesn't even matter.
Well, so, I want to interject here, listen, and basically say that I noticed that a lot of these issues, stem from personal stress on the police departments these days, and this is what I've been getting reports from lately, and it's been also personal issues. It's been You know, you're not supposed to bring your personal issues to your job. You know, that's just the number one rule. I don't care what kind of job you do. And I noticed this because I've been talking to police departments from California up back up to Maine, to east, to west, to south. But every time I got to talk to a chief of police or officer or sheriff's department, the reports I get back is we're either short-staffed, overrun, or not able to, you know, and then the officers are put more pressure. Now we are getting reports that basically this has been coming. I had a report coming from Minnesota. I was talking to a black officer from Minnesota. Now I think it's only three or four black police officers that's on main staff, okay? And within that main staff, there is only, there's only a certain officer, black officers, that might be at the rank of lieutenant or above. Now, that is becomes a, as he quoted, a token officer. Because, you know, you've seen people saying, well, how many black officers do you have on the force? The question comes in there. But then the pressure is that, you know, the officers or the response time or the communication between dispatch, the officer, and the response to the situation, it's either scrambled. Now, the dispatch issue has been somehow the dispatch people don't feel respected. When they give information to the officer that's in the field, the communication is either not fully understood, not being communicated properly. So when you have somebody like that situation where they say, okay, I'm calling you to respond to the situation I'm going through, and then you attack me, I'm the one calling mm-hmm. you, but the dispatch understood what you was going through. You're the one called the dispatch. Mm-hmm. So the problem is the dispatch to the officer in the field. It's just that simple on that issue. Now, when we talk about racially motivated issues on a constant basis, I'm seeing that, you know, people just, their mindset's all up in range. Well, yes, you got the Asian issue. You have the normal, what we call the now, the normal day-to-day black issue where police officers and citizens are being harassed, beaten, attacked, you know, mentally discriminated. I've seen these things happen countless times, and I get all the reports on it. Trust me, I do. And it's just sort of thing that basically, you know, I personally am, you know, I'm trying to respond to it, and I mean these issues are coming up, and I think this is the way to respond to it, and the best way I feel that for, you know, discrimination and these issues is basically we need to have somebody in the police department dealing it to ease before that officer leaves that station, because all police officers have to do what they call a checklist, okay? They check the car, make sure there's ammo, and make sure that the handcuffs is working correctly. They make sure the car or the patrol car or the vehicle is working correctly. Then they have to make sure that they have the report, proper report papers, the when they hit the field is ready. And enough traffic citation tickets. All those things have to go in place. But before you even get, they need to have a mental checklist. I don't care if you're getting the hot sheet or whatever they're going to call it. You need to have a mental checklist to make sure that you are mentally ready to get into the car, to hit the street, to patrol and serve the people that you are ordered to serve. There is no mental checklist at all.
I like that. Yeah, and I think so. I was talking to my brother about that too yesterday in a conversation. That's not happening, and I think it needs to happen. And also, the same way when you go apply for jobs, they have you take all this compatibility testing and whatever skill testing and these questions, personality testing. They need to have a racist test to see how these people are thinking, and any signs of that, they shouldn't be allowed to do it. And I just believe that, especially with what happened with the lady who's saying, taser, taser, taser. No, a taser is not as heavy as a gun. I don't care what you're saying. And if you're still calling taser and you hear, you see bullets coming out, that's a problem. And so I think these people need to go through deeper training. Also, I would love to see police officers, guns forbidden, period. Because, like, just over the Mother's Day weekend, there were 9 mass shootings from Friday night to Sunday morning. There had already been 9 mass shootings. And, like, why is it happening like this at this rate? And that's because we allow people to get weapons. I think it shouldn't be as easy to get weapons. And a lot of other countries don't have, you know, high crime rates like this, especially with guns, because it's not allowed. It's not easy to access. And I think we need to have that until, you know, so we can get this under control. And then if somebody really want to take you out, we're going to have to fight. We're going to throw some bows. Or, you know, we're going to really work for it. And so I just don't think it should be as easy, especially with people just shooting people and killing them. And, like, the girl lost her life trying to call the police to help save her life. That's just sad to me. And so I just think they need to go through, like I said, more training, more testing, and something has to happen.
Well, I'm going to throw this out to both of y'all. I'm going to ask you a question. There's been a circulation. A couple of officers have talked to me about this, and, you know, the good officers, some are retired, but and it's been floating around the internet. Do you believe in, well, I'm going to say theory, that a police officer, it should not be just be an officer. He should be licensed as an officer. And if he violates that license, he loses his license, because as of right now, and it's just been a topic for a while on the internet basically, and if people have been asking questions about it, should they be, if they violate that license, they should lose their license and they cannot become a police officer anyway.
So your question is, should they go through licensing?
Should instead of being just like a regular job, that they should be licensed. It should be a police officer's license. Just like you have a driver's license, if you violate the law, you lose your driver's license and you cannot drive. So it's that same old language. Do you believe something like that should be with all police officers?
I think with what's happening in the world, yes, there has to be some harder way or something that people need to go through. It shouldn't just be so easy to become. Like licensing, yes, you lose your whatever it is that you can't do it anymore, or you need to go through so much training and renew it, like nurses have to do, teachers have to do,
right.
Renew their things. And I think they should start definitely doing like the mental check and all of that, and then they should start doing these tests, like they have the personality test. I believe that they should do it, and if they see any signs, shows any type of racism, of course people probably eventually learn how to pass those tests, but at the same time, right now we can stop a lot of people from even entering the academy or, you know, the force if they have those problems. Because why do we need people protecting us that's afraid of who we are or that can't stand us? We don't need those type of people. We need people that love other people. Because guess what? When you operate from love, you're not coming from an angle where, let me see who I can get. You're coming from, how can I help the situation? How can I de-escalate the situation with, you know, while saving lives? Not about, I'm going to take you out. Because, like, we watch these videos on social media, the 65-year-old black lady, and I think it was North Carolina. She was, like, 60, in her 60s, and I guess the police were behind her, and she didn't get over. She just kept driving, and because she thought it wasn't for her. And so this is what she said. And she said she wasn't speeding. So as soon as they pull up, they're cussing her out, yanking her by her hair. And you can tell this lady is not resisting or not trying to do anything. She just was wriggling. They already yanking her out of it. I'm like, why? You know, she's not even showing aggressive behavior. She's just sitting in her car, and she explained to them, she said, I didn't think it was for me because I wasn't speeding. And so whatever her, whatever led her to believe that, but I'm just like, no, we don't need people like that. Whatever we got to do, if we got to add testing checks or whatever we need to do, that's what we got to do. And I think they should take guns from officers. They should take guns from everybody. It should be illegal for guns to be had as a country, as a nation. Get some tasers. You know, because I'd rather mistakenly tase somebody than mistakenly shoot somebody, you know, and kill them, you know. And if you really want to take me out, let's fight.
Yeah. I mean, oh, man. in the true sense of being an American, every American wants the right to bear arms because it's written in the Constitution and the Second Amendment, where there's an opportunity, where there's an opportunity for, you know, basically it was the townships, the colonial townships, to be able to unite and become a militia in the event that they were under attack from any outsiders. That was the initial verbiage written for the Second Amendment, if people look at it closely and have a sound understanding of it, as opposed to just instinctively thinking that it's okay for them to bear arms and just have a gun for the sake of having a gun. Now, over the years, shooting has become, for the most part, sport through various games that have come about that require you to have a firearm, hunting. As hunting season, you have to be licensed for it. In some states, I don't know if it's every state, but some states require a hunting license, and they have a hunting season, and they also have a limitation in regards to the kill itself. But needless to say, as we're talking about humans, and we're talking about microaggressions, aggression, and anger, I mean, it goes without saying at this point, if you're not a people's person, if you feel that you or testosterone, whatever, to keep a physique, to have a certain build, you know, as they drug test athletes, as they drug test employees, I think basically more of a stronger regiment of testing needs to happen with the officers, and then they need to be rotated. So a person shouldn't be on a shift their entire career for the sake of benefits, you know, because, you know, sometimes we'll work the night shift because it makes more money, or sometimes we'll work the night shift because it's less traffic, or we'll work the night shift because we're the cruddy cop and we want to sleep with the prostitutes and get away with the crime by robbing the criminals.
No, no.
If you're going to talk about it, you're going to talk about
it.
We're going to talk about it. You know what I'm saying? And I've heard this from a person who was, you know, a night lady that works in the streets, a street worker. And she you know, because her thing was she's soliciting anybody that she think could be a paying customer. So, she walked up to me. She was like, "Are you a cop?" And I'm like, "No, I'm not a cop." She's like, "Oh, okay, good, because I'm tired of them. I'm tired of giving them free, you know." And I'm like, "Okay, interesting.
Wow,
very interesting, right?" And so I'm like, "The police sleep," and then, you know, that made me stop for that little half a second and question and say, "Hey, I was like, you serious? You just sleep with a cop?" She was like, "Yeah." She was very candid about it. She's cavalier because, again, her morals are, you know, in a different direction considering what she's doing. But she was like, "Yeah, I get so tired of sleeping with them, and then they come back and try to arrest us or make us tell information, and I'm like, wow. So that in itself was that was a thing that I did not care to hear, but it was spoken. And again, like I said, when it comes to people, workshops, personalities, things of that nature, at the end of the day, people get into the profession for a reason. And it's not necessarily always because they want to be there for the people and serve the community. Mm-hmm. Some people have had people that's in the business, and it's a family situation, and we going into it, or the brothers in there, or the cousins in there, and they telling them, hey, this is what I get away with. So why don't you come on and join me, and we can double that, or we could triple that. And essentially, even in the news media now, they refer to the police as a gang because of their code of oath. And I'm not trying to say anything to get out of line with officers who will listen to the show and then, again, have a grievance because of someone's opinion and want to try to run down on them. You have to accept reality. And if you know truth and this is a part of the truth, then this is the big problem that we're having with the agency, because you're not there serving the people. You're there to take advantage of the people in whatever manner that comes about. Now, addressing the issue that you said with the young lady who unfortunately lost her life because of a confrontation that I don't want to say got blown out of proportion, but it was taken to another degree because of her actions. But now here is the situation that we have to understand. We're talking about a young lady that's running at another individual with a weapon in her hand. Mm-hmm. All right, you're called out, and you know it's a heightened situation from the beginning. I think the tactical training that needs to be had, or that officers need to have at this point, are more of self-defense and, as they say, defensive driving. You need defensive tactics that would help you de-escalate a situation more so than bring a situation to a fatal ending. And if we get into that situation, and I'm going to explain it like this, right? Cops got battering rams. Cops have battering rams. Cops have shields. Cops have beanbags. Well, agencies have beanbags, helmets, etc. Okay, so you come out to a situation that's kind of crazy. You don't know what the ordeal is. You're looking at the situation. Now, let's say this cop had a shield, you know, that they're using, you know, because somebody may throw something at him. Now, if this cop has a shield, he charges her. He hits her with the shield. He knocks her to the ground. That puts distance in between her and the assailant at that time that she was pursuing. Now we got a whole other situation where it's going to either be a takedown situation where you're just trying to pin this young lady down and try to work through it and figure it out, as opposed to you lining up behind her, giving a directive, taking your time with your sights to line up and take a direct aim at this person's back, which we know when you actually get a license, when you get your concealed license, if you get your open carry license in any state, that is in a written agreement that says you do not shoot at a person in the back. You don't shoot a person from the back. And even if you chose to shoot her from the back, you know, I've said this on many fronts because I've heard different opinions from different people, but this is a large woman, meaning that she has a big body mass. So your aim doesn't have to be at her upper back.
Well, there is such as a defense. I've learned something about defensive shooting. Like when you look at when you go to a shooting range, there's particular points on the body that can disarm somebody. Like they're taught to shoot them in the shoulder, shoot him in the shoulder, or shoot him in,
right.
if it's a run situation, shoot him in the knee or thigh. Those are also defensive tactics as well.
Right.
But if you're going to shoot him, but you shoot him in a way that, one, where you can control the situation or de-escalate the situation.
Correct.
Go ahead, bro.
I was holding on. And I wasn't going to talk about the incident with the girl, but since you guys were on it. Suppose the girl that was being attacked had a weapon. What was she supposed to shoot?
Girl that was being attacked. I mean, again, this is what I'm saying. We don't have to be high strung about the situation. We're explaining it from a point of view that we witnessed it as. And if I'm witnessing in a standpoint, and I got guns, and I know what it takes when you got sights, and you taking the time to sit there and line up and shoot a person in the back, you had time where you could have shot her in the ass, or you could have shot her in the leg, and that girl would have went down, as opposed to you taking four shots at that girl back or up by the ass.
I asked the girl that was being attacked if she had a weapon.
But
let's not play a question.
We're talking about the situation that we had. The view was not a hypothetical. It's already ended in fatality. And the only point of view that I'm trying to give is that the officer had an opportunity to shoot that young lady in a lower area.
But let's say this. That's not what they're trained. See, here's the point with police officers. If they do something that's beyond their training, that's when they get in trouble. Police officers are taught to shoot center mass. There's a video of a white woman, a white police officer shooting a white male wielding a knife, similar like what you see. And he was approaching her, matter of fact, he had stabbed somebody. He was approaching her, and he started off by 30 feet. She unloaded her weapon in him, center mass, and he finally dropped at her feet. You can't shoot people in their shoulder and their hips and their knees. Nobody's trained like that. This isn't Western Roy Rogers. And another point,
I carry a concealed in
Southern State and also Missouri, and I'm not shooting nobody in the finger. But let's talk about this licensing. There's no national police department. The White House do not control police departments. Police departments get their authority by the state constitution and also the local municipality that the police work for. That's the way it is. President Biden, President Obama, or Franklin Delano Roosevelt cannot control a state law that they give the ability of their police officers to use deadly force. Actually, come out of the state legislature. Another thing, police officers are employees. The employer is a municipality. If a municipality want to have tough police department, like Ferguson, Missouri had for all those years, then that's what the people want. If you got some police department that don't allow high-speed chases, then they don't do high-speed chases. Then near Ferguson, there's a community called St. Ann. If you come through their community speeding, they would chase you clean to Boston if they have to. That's the way they set their policies up. So I just want to put that out there. And you know the main thing, too, today, people don't respect authority like once upon a time, especially young people. They don't respect authority in the house. They don't respect authority in the schools. And then when they get out in the public, they don't respect authority. You got YouTube videos on that all over the place.
Where we at with the situations, though, is this, right? When the people are trying to find a common ground, that would be beneficial for the, a situational standpoint, and we bring any question against the law, it, what happens is things play out just like your rebuttal. The law doesn't like to be questioned on man-made laws that were put in place to control men.
Right. Right.
If it was about respect and authority, you had four, at least three adults there with that girl. Why come they didn't settle that problem when it was in the house? Why did you have a grown man run up and try to kick one of the girls in the head that was laying on the sidewalk? A grown-ass man.
Now. I will wholeheartedly agree with what you just said right there. I said that as another reasoning from the point of view that I had, which I didn't get. I got nothing but the made-for-TV shot that most people got. That was my first question. instead of you running up and...
Yeah.
...behind as she ran past you, if that's your sister, daughter, whomever she was, and try to defuse the situation as well. I totally agree with what you're saying there.
Well, there's something wrong with folks today. Something wrong with their mind. I don't know if it's what they eat, what they read, or what they drink. I don't know. I never have seen people act as belligerent as I see people act today. And let's go back to the school.
Yeah.
You ever been in a public school? Have you ever rode a public bus with a lot of school kids on there? The things you hear, the things you see is unbelievable. You know, when I was a kid, I used to walk to school with a .22 carbine strapped over my shoulder, get on the public bus, go to school, have rifle practice after school. Get back on the bus and come home and walk down the street with my rifle over my shoulder. And I'm black. You know, people did that back then. And I'm not talking back in the 1920s. I ain't that old. But I'm telling you that the one big problem today, and we know it, you got to admit it, that there's a lack of authority. You know, when the police pull you over, the first thing out their mouth, what you stopping me for? What is what you supposed to do? You're supposed to have the documents that eventually they're going to ask for prepared to give to them. Simple things. Let all your windows down if you drive in a car that's highly tinted. Better than that, if you got a warrant out for you, you need to get that thing taken care of, walk on your feet, catch the public service, don't drive. Because sooner they run your license plate, it's going to come back that you got a felony warrant and if you got a gun crime. Well, when that cop approach you, he ain't going to have a taser out. He's going to have his gun out, and you can't blame him.
Well, so
you know,
where do we draw the line when we're witnessing a cop continue to impose force upon someone when they say they can't breathe, when they have their hands up and they're not challenging the cop and the cop punches them in the face, when the cop kicks them in the head, the cop strikes them with the baton, when they are following the directives? Since you have all the answers, when we are obeying, where is it that the cop has good recognition to say, okay, they have given up, they have their hands up, when do I stop imposing force?
That should be directive in their instruction and training. And under those rare circumstances.
And not rare. There are a lot of them that come up year after year. We keep seeing them popping up in the news.
Yeah, you got to admit that.
Officers, they're not trained right. They don't know how to handle situations, and so there needs to be deeper training.
No, because they're aggressive.
They're shooting to kill every time. There's no reason to shoot to kill every time.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes back to the training.
And the major issue is no one Hey, Sister Sophia, nobody wants to take accountability just because they have a badge and a sworn oath. That's the big issue right now.
Yeah.
We got it all the way up into the senators and the congressmen where they're talking about trying to hold officers accountable where they're protected under the law because of a sworn oath. That's the real issue. They're not men. They're not women. And I'm saying that in a sense where if you're a man, you stand up for what you did wrong. Nobody wants to take accountability. They'll plead the fifth. They'll hold their tongue. They know they're going to get put in protective custody so no one can touch them when they are incarcerated. So that's the bigger issue.
Yeah.
It's not the people, because there's so many. It's a billion-plus people on this planet, 7 billion people on this planet, and at the end of the day, we outnumber government. When have we tried to overthrow a government?
Washington, D.C. That's the closest I can say.
Okay, and guess what? A majority of those people that are found, they have law enforcement. A lot of them have been found to be law enforcement officers.
Yeah.
Or former military.
Yep.
So please give me some answers, since you got all the answers. When we doing right?
Well, hold on. Brother dropped off. Hold on. I think he just came back in. Hold up.
If I was telling you about the number that was shot in Chicago with the 4,500 in less than a year, with close to 700 killed, and there's been no white police officer shoot nobody in that particular number, then you got a problem with some people. That's what a problem, right? You got a problem with some people.
That is a community issue. I agree.
Now,
but
we have agreed with that.
We're talking about police brutality. Yeah, we're talking about police brutality. Let's stick to the question.
We agree with the Pope that we have a problem with people. All right, then one thing you should do is pull your young people over to the side, because that's where they're going to be affected more. And you got to teach them the things they need to know. Is that not only when a police officer tells you not to do something, when a normal grown adult tells you not to do something, don't do it.
Go ahead, whoever wants to take the floor. I get that the people are not respecting authority
and all of that, but what about the lieutenant? Wasn't he in his 50s or something? Older guy did everything by the book. What was that about?
That heavy-set police officer was totally in the wrong. He got fired for it. And he was stupid, too, because he was on the camera trying to tell the lieutenant not to say
it. I like this brother. He told the truth, but he said it the right. He was stupid. The way he responded, trying to puff his chest like a pigeon and sit there in the constant the whole damn time. I have to use the old analogy from the movie Glory. It's like putting stripes on a pig, you know.
That cop was totally wrong. You know what made it bad in that instance? You had a young police officer who was watching him, and he was learning what that fool was doing. That's what the problem was.
Yeah.
The only thing the lieutenant should have done was roll down all the windows, because his car was heavily tinted. He should have lowered all his windows down and turned on the dome lights. That's what you want to teach people to do. But that's a mess in yourself. Have you ever came in the house? If you came home and your front door was open, would you walk in that house just like nothing had happened? You're going to be cautious.
Let me put it like to you this way, and I got to say this, because this has been a constant issue where, like I said earlier,
it's personal feelings or emotions you're bringing to the job. You shouldn't bring your personal emotions or how you feel about people or subjects or what's going on in the news. You should not be bringing that to the job. So the cops, they react on it. Yes, a lot of us do not know the rules, the regulations of the road. Let me tell you, let me put it like this. A lot of us, when we get our driver's license, everything we learn in driver's school gets thrown out the window. So, you know, we got these fools hitting people, do not know that each car should be a car length apart when you're driving out in public. That's a standard rule. Just like, you know, not every turn, red turn, allows a right turn. These things get lost. Now, just like when it comes to police officers, you know, or people dealing with people don't know their constitution. Statistics, believe it or not, at Stanford, there was a group of people, and over 100 people took this test, and it was on the constitutional law of their state as well as their federal constitution. Do you know there is less than 1% in a national testing that people know their constitutional law, or even the state law, or even the city ordinance in that? And a lot of them do it. And to take that example, there was a last night, we were watching a news clip. A gentleman and a group of friends were at a basketball court, okay? And it was a public court. The cops, 5 to 6 cops approached these black gentlemen and asked them, listen, you know you need a permit to play basketball here. Now, the first day thing, they're like, hold up, this is a public basketball court. Now, they come around and said, listen, you need to do it. Well, they respond to what they heard, because you know that was not what they were taught. It was what they heard other people do on the Internet or wherever they got the information from, most likely the Internet. They asked for the name and badge number. Give me your name and badge number. Give me your name and badge number. Okay, they responded like that. But what the problem was that, you know, they asking, well, what city ordinance is that? Where can I get the city ordinance? Hold on a minute. First of all, you're a damn idiot. You're going to ask the cop where to get this city ordinance from. First of all, you got a cell phone. All city ordinances, laws, and local laws are on the government and state and city website. You can always look it up that way. Why is it people are not doing that? If you have an issue with the police department, and a police officer tells you this is the ordinance that you violated, you ask the officer. The only question you need to ask an officer when you're in trouble, what is the name of the city ordinance? Can you write it down for me, the name, number of the city ordinance, okay? And then what you do is you go to the city or town you're in website, because every city, every state has a website or a state website with all the city ordinances. And then you look that up. You look up the city ordinance. And then if the cop refuses it to you, then you can proceed with legal matters against the cop, because the cop is unknowing. Because a lot of police officers don't even know the law that they are saying they're quoting. They just give you a bunch of numbers, and they go off and say, well, you violate this. And that's when, you know, things are going
well, you know, left. What you said is good, but here's a better one. When the police officer gives you a citation, a ticket, he's going to write down on the ticket what your infraction is. It's going to give you a court date. By the time you get to court, you should know what the law is. The court date's on the ticket. It's usually maybe a month off.
I do agree on that.
You ain't
got to
ask
that
cop right there on the spot, why am I getting what's the ordinance number? What's your birthday? You don't have to ask him that. Just take the ticket and sign it. That's a guarantee that you're going to be coming to court. Now, if you don't want to sign the ticket, you know what? In many cases, they will do. They'll take you to jail. When a police officer tells you,
location, but you got to know that.
If all that information is on the ticket, when a officer is doing an investigation on you, he has to restrain you. He has to put you in handcuffs. How in the heck? I mean, just come on, use common sense. We got crazy people out there. Oh, there's police officers and also citizens. You are not going to you're not going to stop a person, which you have the right to do, to detain them. And while you're doing an investigation, they have to. I say it again. They have to handcuff you because you could may pose a danger while he's doing the investigation. You may want to run off. Suppose you run off and grab somebody. Suppose you run off and you grab somebody and take them as a hostage. Well, the family of the hostage is going to want to know, why you let this criminal run down here and grab my sister? Now she's in trouble.
Well, the natural moment, the reason police officers, it is true, but sometimes I think there's some police officers actually abuse this rule, and I know the rule with it. The rule is, cause my brother's a cop, okay, and I was a deputized police officer as well, so I had to go through special training when the Million Man March happened, okay, in 96, all right? And part of the training is to know when to make an arrest and when not to make the arrest. When is a citizen's arrest allowed and not allowed? And so I had to go through a brief 3-week training with the police officer that was in the nation at the time. So I didn't understand the procedure. See, what some people do, they abuse the handcuffs, the rule. The only reason you handcuff a potential suspect by regulation, all right, in most state regulations, is for the safety of the police officer. So the police officer can have enough time to investigate you and to make sure that they can respond properly and to what is going on and seeing if you are a threat or you are a combatant or anything else. Okay?
You know, you're absolutely right. But like I say, there's some crazy people. I'm going to give you an example. Over YouTube, there's a video called Nashville Police Encounter with Nashville Driver. Just put Nashville and police on YouTube. And since we're talking about our cousins, let's stick with our cousins. This is a black woman who the police pulled up behind, and she went on a parking lot. And he stopped her, and he ran a plate. The plates came back with a warrant. He comes up to her and asks her, matter of fact, she jumps out the car. You know the first thing that she asked the police officer? Can I go to the bathroom? Well, ain't no police officer going to let you go to the bathroom inside a place of business. What kind of crazy question is that?
Oh, you forgot. No, remember, we got to remember, when that white kid that shot that black kid, Bay Back, they took him to Burger King. People going to say it.
But let's talk about
post.
This. Let's stick with this one here. Then he wants to look inside her car. Well, she's on the phone calling her mama to come where she's at. Well, eventually, he takes a purse and goes to the back of the trunk and starts going through the purse and find drugs in there. So he got drugs and a warrant comes back on the computer. Well, he asked her, I need to handcuff you. And that's when the stuff started. Oh, no, you can't handcuff. And she started walking around the car in circles. He's trying to catch up with her. And eventually, she goes in the car, sits down, and takes a gun, and he's standing there. First, he tases her. That didn't do no good, this big woman. Then she goes over and gets the gun, takes the gun out, and he takes his out. Now, she shot him, and he shot her. Eventually, he's there laying on the ground, calling for help. She drives off and collapses and dies about a block or so from the incident. These are the type of things that you see and go through. And, you know, this stuff I hear people say that white police officers don't shoot whites in the back and all that stuff. That's a damn lie. That's on YouTube, too. If you're talking about what goes on with human beings, we need to get off of that stuff, because all you're doing is inflaming people. People say whites going to kill us and all this. That's a bunch of crap. If they're going to kill you, if white folks are so bad, why when blacks move from crime, they move to all white communities with damn near all white police or forces?
Okay.
Think
okay.
about it.
I can answer that. I can answer that question for you right now. I can answer that question in less than a minute before we go to the break. But here's, before we get into that, we want to say thank you, brother. Appreciate you coming on today. And also right there, we're going to definitely get into that list now. But we got to hit to the commercial, pay the bills. Be back in 2 and 2.
Chapter systems are offline.
Number one for today's hit. Bang. And all-time favorites.
What's going on? You're listening to Midnight Oil with King Cam on NSF Radio, where you get music, motivation, and more.
If I did this song with you, that means I enable you. I'd be forced to get along with you, cause I wanna be enabled to. And if you gave me all your love, that
new
means you enable me.
Shelly in the building, a.k.a.
Baby girl, I'm far from
the dream.
Somehow I must return.
Warning, radioactive zone detected. Please enter with Duende mode. Take a break and enjoy the show. This is Radio as Duende.
Yes.
Yeah. That was an exclusive Shelly S.K.A. The Dream, brought in by the Powerhouse exclusive. Our boy, homeboy, brother, man, brother Tone has brought it in the house. All right. We get into it today. We're getting on up that free. Don't forget, everybody, download the app. If you do not have the app, download NSF Radio app. Go to your Google Play Store. We will be on Apple Store soon. So if you got that iPhone, get ready to download it. NSF Radio is there. Please get that downloaded today. We're definitely getting back into it. Brother Tone, listen, I want to say you brother hot
yep.
into it. That song was Jump Jump. That song was Jump Jump. That was a Jump Jump,
good.
Bro.
I'm glad you enjoyed it, man, and I enjoyed the show. I learned from the show today. And I can understand why there's really a big difference between the civilians and law enforcement as a whole, because no matter what the civilian does, they'll never be right, because law enforcement people have a great imagination, they have an alibi, they have a hypothetical for every
yeah.
situation that comes about. So there is nothing that you can do when the police come down on you that's going to save your behind. So you may as well just sit still and allow them to handle you however they're going to handle you. According to this man here, you ain't got no rights. You ain't got no will. Shut your mouth and let them just toss you, turn you, and kick you on back to the street. Sad,
yeah.
but true. And now I understand why there's such a horrible relationship between
the community and the police.
Nope, not the community, not necessarily, but between the people who pay their bills and the benevolence in their retirement, why they do not respect them, because they have their own code of ethics that they choose to live by in their jurisdictions in each state. And that seems to be
yeah.
the truth from the law enforcement side.
Yeah, it's a hard thing, bro. It is a hard thing. It is, and you know, and this is let y'all know. Let me tell y'all what I've been doing behind her. As you know, NSF Radio is connected to the National Saving Father Foundation. So we've gotten reports of basically police officers abusing or being not good fathers in the home as well, because first of all, their shifts are 13, 16 hours, or 18 hour shifts. How much time are you going to be at home taking care of your son or daughter if you're always at work? And then you're on call and everything like that. So we started a program called a Fatherhood Ambassadors Program for police officers. So that means in every police department, and every city, every state, we will have a national or city or state ambassador in police departments, where that means they will handle the mental issues or mental issues for the police officers to make sure that they are capable and are to go out into the field. And if they're not capable to be out in the field, there is going to be a report. And if that report is the chief can escalate that and bring it to, if some states where they have a police union, they can bring it to the union's attention. And the union can subscribe to some kind of aid or something for them as well. But what we can also, you know, so that's going to be part of the program. And I'm glad you all brought this up, because this is how we find solutions. You got to find a solution for problems. You can't just let a problem stammer or sit around and float in the air and just stay there. You got to come up with some kind of solution. Yes, I am a person who has been, I've been beaten by the police, okay? And not, I mean mentally beat, okay? I got pulled over one time. I remember I was in Canton, Massachusetts,
or, you know, cutting through to go into Boston, okay? And the police officer pulled me over, and as soon as I told him my brother was a cop and was working as a federal police officer, he let me go. But he did tell me one thing before he let me go. He says, when black people have nice cars, we think it's stolen. Huh. What, you trying to say black people are not allowed to have nice things? What, we're not supposed to have a nice car? I can't buy a BMW? Or I can't buy a nice Ford Probe and trick it out, make it look brand new and or whatever? We're not supposed to have these things? What, we're supposed to have hoopties and junk cars? What are you saying to me, sir? And, you know, and that's the whole thing. I didn't speak because I know what my brother taught me. He said, don't speak. Think what you're going to think, but don't speak it. And I looked at that and I said, you know what? I'm going to say bull hookie. That's a nice word for me. It's bull hookie, okay? Because it's wrong. Because the way people are constantly being treated and stereotyped and that you are subject to a certain way of life, you know, it's so wrong. I mean, and you all heard me before say this on a previous show. I said, listen, if I was one way of living I could choose, I would rather have the laws of the Star Trek Federation. Even though it's a fictional situation, but that those lifestyle where you only work because you want to better humanity, not for wealth and classism, that would be perfect. But we don't live in a perfect world. We don't live in a society like that, but we live in this society. So we have to try to find ways and solutions. So we have an ambassador program that we're launching and working hard. We're working with some of the police commissioners out here in the state, but we're also going to try making this to a federal program, and we can get it federally funded when we can bring more resources to the police department so that when they handle normal situations, they're not bringing their personal stress or their personal issues home. And, you know, and one of the things I'm tributing to is my friend who, when I was younger, she got killed by her husband. She was a cop in Brockton, Massachusetts. And I really don't talk too much about it, but I feel it's relevant right now. And, you know, she came home. He took her service revolver out of the safe and shot her dead. And just completely because she was going to take the children and you know, away from him, and he didn't like it, and it affected her because she was a tough cop too. She was not no you know, people thought she was butch, but she wasn't butch. She's just tough. She's a tough woman, that, you know, black woman too, and they you know, he shot her, his wife, because of that issue. So I think these kind of things are consistently or constantly going on. It needs to be addressed in a way so that you know, so that we can live as citizens of this country. I mean, you know, if not, you know what? I think every black person in America that you know, if we feel that we can't get along here, then you know what? We should take what that offer that's been given to us from Africa, where we can get our own land, and we all should not be calling ourselves nationalists and the black nationalists. We should be calling ourselves Pan-Africanism and make plans to go back home. You know,
yeah.
We've been because if we can't do this, if we can't make this thing change, we should put a time stamp on it. If we cannot make a change within that time spirit, then we need to stop calling ourselves nationalists, and we need to become Pan-African. Hop on the Garvey movement. Get on with that. Stop building buildings here. Don't build nothing here. In fact, everything that we built or we invented, we should take it with us and go back. Just like the Japanese and Latinos do. The Latinos come to America, work here, send the money back to the Latin countries.
you know what? We should take our inventions, everything that black men invented, and we have proof that that is invented. We should go and take that patent right back, go to the court system, grab that, and say, you can't use that without giving us dividends to our country that we choose. And if we say, okay, my ancestors and my DNA says I'm from Ghana or Central Africa or I'm from Libya or from South Africa or the Gamba, or you know what I'm saying, or you're Gandhi, you know, then you know what? Then you know what? You need to pay dividends to that country. So whatever country using or whoever's making rich in this off of that, my product, I don't care if you twist it or anything, you need to give me some more money and put money on that. Okay? That is just my opinion as of right now. Because it's enough is enough. And to be honest with you, I'm sick of it. I am sick of seeing our people getting beat down. And I am the most passive person. And everybody will tell you that I try my best to get along with everybody. But see, everybody I know and I see, they look at one side, their side of the fence. For me, I've always lived on that gray border. And being on that gray border for so long, for over 30 years, it's more stressful than picking a side. Okay? It's more stressful because when you're looking on the gray border, you understand the left side and the right side. You understand the conservative and the liberal. And you know what I'm saying? You understand the Democrat and the Republican and you know, those issues. But it gets very tiresome when you see in there and you're working on a borderline to understand both sides, and you have idiots in the White House. You have people in Senate in the House that's passing bills doing paperclip laws, where there's hidden laws under the surface law. Now, they can say, we passed this law, but Biden is not letting this come through. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and he's got to paperclip another law between them. Okay? Now, we only got a minute left in the show, and I just want to give it up to my brothers and my sisters down here and just say, yo, what's going on with y'all? Let me know. We got the time. All right, we start with Sophia. What you got going on this week?
Same old, same old. I have a course called Foundational Steps to a Better You, only $37 investment to get the steps that you need to get on the right path for your best life. So check it out on my website, SophiaAlexandria.com, Foundational Steps to Becoming a Better You.
All right, Brother Tom, what you got going on this week?
I got a couple podcasts that have already been uploaded. Just talking about some of the people who have not won championships, although they've had successful professional careers, such as Charles Barkley. Talked about the four-peat Buffalo Bills that made it to the Super Bowl four times in a row, and they were unsuccessful at winning a championship. So that's something worth checking out if you want to go back down the memory lane and hear some of that dialogue in regards to some of the past stars that, you know, gave it their all on the court. But unfortunately, they did not find the success to become a champion in their careers. Other than that, I mean, I do my infrequent podcast, my impromptus online from time to time. And that's about it, man. I thank everybody for the show. It was definitely spirited. It was definitely eye-opening from a perspective of, you know, just hearing someone, and I don't know what his professional background was, but just hearing someone that speaks excuse me, mostly as though they're representing law enforcement, and, you know, I'll end on a high note and say, man, until next time.
Yeah. All right. All right, everybody. Want to say thank you for it. Appreciate you coming on tonight and everything. We'll see. This is the Powerhouse Squad. My name is Brother Alfred. That's Brother Tone. Sister Sophia is in the building. See y'all next week. Powerhouse is out of the house.